You're listening to Vatican Radio.
The Jesuit Refugee Service, together with other humanitarian agencies and the UN, are pleading with the Kenya government to reverse its decision to clamp down on refugees, citing security concerns. The government has already disbanded the Department of Refugee Affairs. It says it is the first step in closing the enormous Dadaab and Kakuma refugee camps in Garissa and Turkana counties. There are currently some 600,000 refugees in Kenya, most of them living in camps. Humanitarian organizations point out that the closure of the camps would lead to dire consequences for hundreds of thousands of people. Angela Wells, the Jesuit Refugee Service Eastern Africa Communications Officer, told me that JRS has released a joint statement with other NGOs providing assistance to refugees in Kenya, asking the government to reconsider its plans.
We don't exactly know the consequences of this yet because we haven't seen an implementation plan or how this could be potentially carried out. But we are concerned that the consequences could be dire for the 600-something thousand refugees that are currently seeking refuge in Kenya. We've seen so far that the Department of Refugee Affairs has been disbanded. Practically speaking, this means that new arrivals coming into the country are not being registered. So at the moment, we know that there are nearly 500 refugees waiting at the border of South Sudan and Kenya who have not been able to be registered and thus not been able to transfer into Kenya. What's more is that in Kakuma Refugee Camp, which is in the northwestern part of the country, we have 2,200 refugees waiting in the reception area in an area that's just not built to handle thousands of people at the moment. And that means that diseases like cholera could spread, and we're concerned about the health conditions of a place like that. In addition, movement passes are not being given to refugees. So by law, refugees are supposed to live in camps. The majority of them do. And this means that without the movement pass, in an event of medical emergency, they are not allowed to be evacuated into Nairobi for treatment. And we know that one refugee in Dadaab camp has already died. So these are just a few of the immediate consequences, and not to mention the potential long-term consequences if this decision is actually taken out.
You were mentioning something like 600,000 refugees in the camps. Can you tell us what countries most of them come from?
There are 600,000 refugees in Kenya, according to UNHCR. They say that there are about 190,000 in Kakuma, with new arrivals coming in every day, around 500 a week. And Dadaab, which is in the other side of the country, towards the east, that is hosting 250,000 refugees, majority of whom are Somali. So in Kakuma, you have a bit more of a diverse population. The majority are South Sudanese coming in from the recent conflict, and also people who have stayed from the previous conflict. But now we also have people coming in from Burundi, people from Congo, Rwanda, Ethiopia, Eritrea have been there for years. The camp has been open for nearly a quarter of a century, so you can imagine many people of many different conflicts coming and seeking refuge there for at least two decades. We also have people coming in from Uganda and even as far as North Sudan.
I imagine that many of them are women and children and elderly people, perhaps.
Yeah, we know that about 56% of the camp population in Kenya are women and children, and many of whom would have severe protection concerns if they were to have to leave the camp.
The government has raised concerns about security, reinforcing security in Kenya. Surely closing the camps or not allowing new refugees to be received in the camps would raise security concerns rather than lessen them, wouldn't they?
We are very sympathetic to this, to the notion of security, and we agree that security needs to be prioritized in Kenya and that terrorism needs to be halted. However, we see refugees as a consequence of insecurity. Many have fled terror groups themselves, particularly those coming from Somalia, and we also think that refugees can be good allies in trying to alleviate security tensions. Community policing in particular, is a strong tool that's been used in the Somali community in Nairobi. And we think that by protecting refugees, you're prioritizing the security of everybody in the country, including foreigners. And we are very skeptical of equating the term refugee with the term terrorist.
Can you tell me briefly, what kind of work does JRS do in the camps?
So in Kenya, the Jesuit Refugee Service is based in Kakuma Refugee Camp and in Nairobi. We are not in Dadaab as of now. In the camp in Kakuma, we have a online higher education program that offers diplomas as well as community service courses to refugees online through universities all over the world. We have a protection area for women and girls who are at particular risk for sexual violence, as well as a safe house for boys who have protection risks. Maybe they're unaccompanied or they've undergone human rights abuses. So we have a safe place for them to live and to learn, and we sponsor their education. On top of that, we have daycare centers for children. We have a special needs program and a mental health program for people who've undergone traumatic experiences during conflict or in flight, or who've come with severe physical or mental handicaps that we try to help them to still be able to learn and function in the camp.
Does the government support you at all in your endeavor?
Agencies in Kenya have always had the verbal support of the government, and for that we're very grateful. They've hosted refugees for a very long time, and that is a great thing to commend. Financially, we do not receive support from the government of Kenya, but in terms of their participation in events, maybe if we have a graduation, we've had Department of Refugee Affairs officials come. We liaise with them on issues of new arrivals and getting people registered. So I would say the relationship between the government and the organization has always been good.
I have been reading your joint statement released in conjunction with other NGOs. What is JRS's appeal at this moment?
We would like to appeal that the government would reverse their decision to both disband the Department of Refugee Affairs as well as to close the camps. We can't see how the government could really humanely deal with 600,000 people and how they could remove them from the camps and where these people would, where they would go. Forced return can't be seen as an option. Back to situations of conflict or persecution, that would be a violation of international and national law. And we hope that they don't follow some of the practices we've seen in Europe on that note. As well as we need to recognize that the bordering countries of Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda, they're already also hosting hundreds of thousands. So we would like to appeal first to that, but also we would like to appeal to the international community to continue to support these efforts, whether that's financially or with more services or with more resettlement. I know the UN has said that they do hope to settle 10% of the world's refugees, but at the moment, that number is at 1%. So looking at this from a global lens, I think it's really also very critical.
Thank you for mentioning the situation in Europe. As an organization that has a long experience in working with refugees and dealing in a humane way with the movement of people, which, as you say, is a global phenomenon, what is your view of what's going on in Europe?
We've also condemned European governments for the last EU-Turkey deal, and we hope that countries like Kenya and other major refugee-hosting countries in the world, which I would also note is, the Global South is hosting 86% of refugees in the world. So we are hoping that these countries do not take this example and reenact it. We don't support any pushbacks in any situation. Resettlement is a violation of the Refugee Convention, which hundred-something countries have signed. And so it is important that is a first and foremost seen as a human rights issue, which is prioritized, that we do not push people back into situations of further persecution. Whether that's in Europe or in Africa or in the United States, that is a crucial stance of the organization.
That was Angela Wells, Communications Officer for JRS Eastern Africa.